analyst. Lots to talk about around the league and around the league in net. Hello, Croner. What's up, my friend?
Nothing much. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. And I'm curious to get into a lot of different things with you. We'll finish it off with some Flames conversation, but I want to give you some credit. Let's start with something that you called prior to this series and to this postseason. When we were talking last week, you said that, you know what, this might be the time, this is kind of when you think will be the time that Marc-Andre Fleury really kind of becomes the best player in a series for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yes, they're down 3-1 to the New York Rangers, but he has been the best player in this series. You called it. So how come?
There's no pressure. They're the underdog in this series, right? I mean, they're playing against the Rangers, who are the, you know, the league champions. They're the one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. And you're going up there, and you're just trying to get your team a win, a split in New York, and maybe get a couple home wins here too. And there's nothing to lose for him right now. Usually, he's been in positions where he's had to be they were expected to win. And when you don't, or when you have that type of pressure on you, when you're expected to win every night, and you're supposed to go out there, and you're not getting all the shots, and you're not the goaltender they talk about because of all the hype around you. You can just go out there and do your job. And I mean, he's been stellar. He's made some huge, huge saves. He's been clutch for them, and he's given them every chance to win in this series. Now they're down 3-1. Another big game for him tonight. And you know, they're not done. They got players like Malkin and Crosby who are game breakers. And if Fleury just keeps playing the way he's playing and maybe makes a few extra saves, Pittsburgh's not out of the series yet.
I agree with you, and if Fleury keeps on playing like this, they'll have an opportunity to extend the series and maybe get it back to Pittsburgh trailing 3-1. I'm really curious. There's so many interesting goaltending stories in this year's postseason. The situation in Chicago is bizarre. Scott Darling wins 3 games, and then, you know, maybe gets lit up a little bit more in the third period of last night's Game 5, so Game 6 is going back to Chicago. I'm really curious. Like, Scott Darling's the guy right now, but for how long? Is this still Crawford's team in your eyes?
It is. Quinville was really quick to pull the trigger on putting Darling in the net there for Game 3. He did have a great Game 1 in relief of Crawford, but you know, it's surprising to me. Crawford's won a Stanley Cup with the Chicago Blackhawks. He's had great seasons with the Blackhawks, and he's a professional, and he'll always be able to find his game, but there's that pressure of winning. And Darling came in and played unbelievable the first game, played great the third game, played really good the fourth game, and didn't really have a great last game here. He played all right, but didn't make the saves that he needed to make. And Nashville obviously was desperate, so they put their best foot forward. And Rene showed up and made some huge saves at key times for Nashville. So, you know, I think you'd have to stick with Darling going into the next game right now. He's been so good. He's a big body. He's been very calm, too, for his first playoff series. He's actually been remarkably calm. He hasn't overreacted to a lot. Playing in Chicago and on home ice, with that kind of crowd and that type of pressure, he's handled it like a pro. There's been no panic in his game. He's a big body, covers low extremely well, plays the puck well, and seems to have the respect of his teammates. And I can't see why Quenneville wouldn't go back to him for this game, because if you start flip-flopping goalies in the playoffs, it can work, but you usually have to identify number one. Going forward, Darling is that guy for now, but if he falters more than a game or two here, I'm sure Crawford will get his chance to get back in there.
Kind of the opposite situation in Ottawa, right? I mean, it was Andrew Hammond who was the young upstart. He started the first 2 games of the playoffs. Then Craig Anderson takes over, and he's the guy going forward. Kind of like a complete opposite situation.
Yeah, well, Hammond got them into the playoffs and faltered in Game 1 and 2. And Anderson's been a playoff performer. He played against the Canadiens a few years ago, and his numbers were unreal when they put the Canadiens out of the playoffs. And Anderson seems to be doing that here again. He's only played 2 games, so it's, you know, it's hard to judge going forward. But those 2 games he's played, he's been unbelievable. So I would expect nothing less from him tonight. He has the ability to be a game breaker too. I mean, he had 47 saves the other day, and you know, he can compete with Carey Price. Carey Price does it on a consistent level. He can always raise his game. Anderson gets hot and cold, and if he gets hot at the right time, I know Ottawa probably won't win this series, but they'll definitely make it close if Anderson keeps playing the way he's playing.
With Brent Cron, who is our NHL analyst, joins us usually Thursdays, but this week Friday on the Big Show here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Goes back to that conversation that we had about the Flames, but it's a general conversation that we can have. The importance of having that number one goalie, it's crucial, isn't it?
Well, it is, and you know, I'm actually really surprised at Hiller, too, how well he's been doing. He had a really solid season, but he'd kind of been, you know, when he'd cool off, Rahma would come in, play great, and then Rahma would cool off, and then Hiller would go back in. But I believe Hiller's been the most consistent player for the Calgary Flames. And everybody's talking about Sam Bennett and Michael Ferland and how good of a job they're doing. They're new to the team. They're having an impact, so everybody's talking about them. But game in and game out, every shift, every play, I believe that Hiller's been their most consistent player, especially last night, too. You could tell he really wanted to end the series in Vancouver. He had 43 shots, and a lot of them were good quality scoring chances, too, especially with the Sedins, with having the puck on their stick and making plays. And I mean, he kept the game close. He gave the Flames a chance. And from game one on, Hiller's just been solid. And that's all they can ask for their goaltender. And he's made key saves at key times. And you know, Saturday night should be no different.
Tell me about a team's mindset when you're playing in front of a red-hot goalie like Hiller is right now.
Well, I mean, look at a powerhouse team like the Tampa Bay Lightning right now. Ben Bishop struggled throughout the playoffs. And every play that comes into the Tampa zone, it looks like the Tampa Bay Lightning are holding their breath, hoping that their goaltender can make the save. And who knows what's going to happen after that. They're not playing with confidence in with their goaltender, and therefore the rest of the game suffers defensively, offensively. Everything just kind of falls apart, and you turn into a bunch of individuals trying to carry too much of the load. Whereas you've got a team like the Calgary Flames, for example, or Blackhawks, or whatnot, where their goaltending has just been stellar, been solid, and they can count on their goaltender to stop the pucks he's supposed to stop, and then stop the ones that he has no chance on either. So when a team knows their goaltender can make saves, they're a lot more relaxed. They're a lot more willing to take chances because they believe their goaltender can bail them out. And they play a lot more comfortable, confident game.
With Brent Cron, who is our NHL analyst, I want to ask you about two other goaltenders in the postseason. One of them, Pekka Rinne, and your observations of him, because he's had some struggles in this first-round series with Chicago.
You know what? Since Pekka came back from his injury late in the season here, he hasn't been himself. He's a big kid. He's 6'5". He's lanky, but he's super athletic, and he's fun to watch because he makes a lot of desperation saves with how athletic and acrobatic he is in the net. But he's overplaying a lot. He's overmoving. He's diving around. He's making himself extremely small. He just looks like he is trying so hard to stop the puck that it's nearly impossible. And it's exhausting to watch him play right now. You can tell he really wants it. He's a competitor. He battles hard. But the game isn't very simple for him. He everything that comes his way, he's getting beat short side on straight shots and trying to find pucks through traffic, and he's getting beat through his five hole. He's getting beat a lot through his body, and that's just not his style. It's not his game. And last night, you know, the Nashville was able to score five, so that definitely helped. But that first goal was a bit soft, and you know he's there's a lot of pressure on him. He's paid like a big time goaltender, but hasn't had a whole lot of playoff success. And this would go a long way to prove that he is the goaltender that the Nashville Predators think he is. And he just got to get himself a bit more comfortable and a bit more confident in the way he stops the puck, because he's got a very unique style, and he stops pucks a lot differently than most goaltenders do. And so that's always subject for review with the way he plays, because he's just so athletic. He tries to catch everything. He dives, he jumps, he's almost like a Dominic Hasek in a sense, where he doesn't really have a style. He just goes out there and stops the puck. And so it's exciting to watch, but calls into question a lot of plays he makes when he struggles, and he can be a dominant National Hockey League goaltender. He just needs to, in my opinion, just kind of slow down, relax, and let the puck come to him.
Final question for you, and that's on Ben Bishop. I know the Lightning win game four, big one yesterday, but to just your overall thoughts on his first playoff appearance.
Not very good. He's struggled. He hasn't got the high shot totals that Tampa Bay has got on Mrazek, and that can be a bit of a detriment to you mentally. When you see the goaltender at the other end getting 46 shots and getting peppered and getting scoring chances, he's making great save after great save, and Detroit comes down to your end and scores a bit of a chintzy goal, and you know you don't get another shot here for the next 2 or 3 minutes, so all you get to do is dwell on the mistakes that you've made. So he really hasn't been able to get involved in a lot of the games. He's a big puck-playing goaltender in Detroit, for the most part, has kept the puck away from him. So he really hasn't been able to get into any games. There's a ton of pressure on him because he's on a team that's supposed to beat Detroit, and now the series is tied at two. And that was a huge game last night for Detroit to come back with 6 minutes left and win it in overtime. That's gonna change the tide in this series. And Bishop needs to get himself going again. With not a lot of shot repetition, you have to be very mentally strong. And I hope he can do it, because you can fall asleep back there too with the intensity of the playoffs and everybody's going and crashing and banging. Forwards can go out there, get it. You know, if you're not scoring goals, you can go out there and make a hit, block a shot, do something for the team. Whereas goaltending, it's you either stop the puck or you don't. And you can't do anything really to get yourself into the game until you start making those saves. So mentally, he needs to be sharp, he needs to be relaxed, and he needs to be confident. And the only way you can do that is if he stops pucks, and if the boys give him enough support to go out there, maybe make a mistake or two, but he knows that his guys have his back.
Good stuff as always, Cronor. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for making time for us today. I know that you were busy yesterday, so I'm glad you still made time for us. And I'm glad that
you're a big deal, Patty.
You're the big deal, Cronor. I'm glad the little guys still have an opportunity in your world.
Appreciate it.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.
He is Brent Cronor. He joins us every Thursday or sometimes Friday here on The Big Show on Sportsnet 960.